thankful to be here and thankful for each one of you that are here, your desire to be here. Above all, appreciate the Lord's willingness to meet with us.
Amen.
We're desperate for that, and without that, we surely have nothing. And so we ask for your prayers this afternoon that the Lord would meet with us for a little while here, open his word to us a little bit, that we might be able to receive edification from it. I'd like to begin this afternoon in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Beginning in the 7th verse, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7, says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." I'm thankful this afternoon for all the Lord has invested in me, in us, in his people. I'm so thankful that the Lord has given of heaven's best. I think of the passage as the Lord was considering his people, and he likened them unto a vineyard, and he said, "What more could I have done than what I've already done? What I've already invested into my people here? What charge could be laid at my feet to say, Lord, you didn't do enough. Lord, you stopped short. Lord, your grace wasn't sufficient. Lord, I faced some hardships." Surely we'll be able to say that. But I believe that there's a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that we can look unto and receive encouragement and strength from, the stories of their lives giving testimony to the faithfulness of a mighty God in the test of their lives, in the problems that they faced, in the difficulties that they encountered, that they were able to say, "I found the grace of God to be sufficient. Whenever I felt all alone, the Lord met me right there." As Jacob, who said, "The Lord was in this place and I knew it not," I found some of those places. A cloud of witnesses to be able to bear witness to the workings of a mighty God. The scripture tells us, remember the days of old. There's value, I believe, in that. I believe so much value in the testimonies that we hear from time to time. May we never grow old, or may they never grow old, and we never grow weary of hearing what the Lord has done.
Amen.
That the Lord has given us some testimonies of old. These things that were given are given for our learning, that we, through the Scriptures, might have comfort and hope for our time, for our day, for the situations of life that I encounter, that I might be able to look back and, because of the faithfulness of God, know that the God who was this way yesterday is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Surely He'll meet me too. Surely He'll be here for my need and my trouble as well. So remember, look back and consider the days of old, the workings of the Lord throughout so many generations, the testimonies of those that have gone before us. It's valuable.
Yes, it is.
Consider that. He will shew thee. And it was, the Lord ordered it to be so. Whenever He told the children of Israel, "When you go up, I want you to carry some stones with you. And I want you to set those stones up on the other side of the river. And whenever your children look and consider in the times to come, whenever they ask the questions that children will ask, why? What do these things mean?
Yes.
Consider the things of old." You'll have a story to tell them.
Yes.
You'll have a testimony that rises up out of that to say, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us. This is what the Lord has done for us. Let me tell you of the faithfulness of the Lord to my generation. In my time, they will tell thee." Verse 10, "He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. You know, we read of the children of Israel that even the soles of their shoes didn't wear out. You ever have shoes that have lasted you 40 years? You know, when the Lord is sustaining you, oh, the testimonies that He can give to us, of the way the Lord can care for us and of His providence and His provisions for us, that I can look back. I don't always see and realize it in its fullness in this moment and in this time. But I believe the Lord wants us to be able to look back over the past of our lives. As the song says, I can see far down the mountain. There's a path behind me. And I can be able to say that the Spirit of the Lord led unerring to the land that I hold today. I can look back and realize, Lord, I didn't see it as Your faithfulness then. But Lord, I can see now how Your hand was right there holding me. Lord, I can see how You provided. Lord, I can see how that if it wasn't for You afflicting me, I would have gone astray. It's hard sometimes to appreciate and realize that. Hebrews, I believe the 12th chapter, gives us this instruction. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of Him. That word despised doesn't quite mean what we consider it today. Something that I hate, that I have a repulsion to, that I want nothing to do with. But to despise is to count as not very valuable. Not to place a very high value upon. And so I want us to continue reading here. But Jeshurun, or Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You know, that's my challenge to us this afternoon, is that we not lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. That's the same word as we is rendered to despise. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't get into a place that you lightly esteem the workings of the Lord, the dealings of the Lord, the corrections of the Lord in your and my life. Jeshurun, or Israel, found themselves in a place that the Lord had warned them about. Whenever I bring you into a land of vineyards that you didn't plant, wells that you didn't dig, houses that you didn't build, there's a warning for you. There's a caution unto you. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget the one that led your fathers through the wilderness land. Don't forget the one who made all of this possible. Because there's a tendency. There's a danger of that. I am so thankful today for our heritage. Yes. I am so thankful today for the truth of God's Word. Yes. I am so thankful for the memories that I have of this place. Right over there. I'm thankful for the memories of the truth that I heard and how it began resonating with my soul and the times of the Lord visited me and the anointing of the services that meant so much to me as a child that are part of the reason why I'm here today. Amen. The faithfulness of the Lord.
Yes.
The blessings of the Lord to meet with us over and over again. And I'm challenged today that I not get into a place that I lightly esteem.
Amen.
The working of the Lord. That I not get into a place that I take for granted. the things that are most precious and valuable to all of us. They got into a place of the vineyards that they didn't plant, the things that were handed down to them. And if we're not careful, the thing that the Lord intends to be such a great blessing for us, to be able to be taught the truth.
Yes.
From the time, many of us, the time that we were young children,
yes,
Sunday school and the children's meetings, so much time that was invested in those, and around family worship, the truths that I had been given and fed,
yes,
that I not take those for granted, that I not receive the things on a silver platter that are presented unto me and not fully appreciate it. Now, I want to share a little bit with you of my dad's philosophy when I was growing up. I remember in school seeing students drive up in a brand new BMW that their parents bought for them. And looking at that and saying, boy, that'd be nice. Hey, Dad. That conversation didn't last very long. You know, there was something that he said, I want to instill something in you. I don't want, and if you do that, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But what he was trying to teach me is, I want you to go by the sweat of your brow. I want you to have something invested in this. I want you to put your sweat and blood, so to speak, into the things that you have, that you not just receive freely. And what can follow sometimes is that I receive those things and take it for granted.
Yeah.
It's called a sense of entitlement. That, well, where's my next car? This one's 3 years old now. I'm ready for the next one. And I've got it coming to me. I'm deserving of it. And I begin to lightly esteem the value of a thing. That I cannot place the proper valuation on a thing that is most valuable of all.
Yes.
I'm not talking today about cars and temporal things.
Yes.
I'm interested in the things that are of more value than that.
Yes.
Of a heritage for which I believe many of us are so thankful.
Yes.
But folks, we can't rest.
That's true.
On a heritage.
That's true.
We can't rest on the workings of the Lord in the past.
Yes.
And assume because the Lord met us in 1982 and in 19, and I remember this year, and I remember back in 1999. And do you remember that one night over there where there wasn't even a minister that got up into the pulpit and the anointing that was on the serve? Do you remember those times? And for us to get into a place that we assume,
Help us, Lord,
you've done it in the past, you're going to do it again. Lord, because of this place, it's still called Monarch Springs. And we can almost get into a place, if we're not careful, that we lightly esteem the things that others have fought and toiled through night and day, through hardship, through adversity, to gain some spiritual ground that they found. There is a danger for those of us so privileged enough to be raised among the truth,
yes,
that we begin to take for granted.
That
we begin to assume that this is just the way that it is. The things that are closest around me, I become familiar. And the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. It breeds a devaluing of the thing that's right around me. And so it is that a prodigal son can look about a father's house and say, there's something else out there. May the Lord help us to each have a personal revelation.
Amen.
For ourselves.
Amen.
I pray for our children and young people that we all would get that vision for ourselves. Lord, it's a blessing, it's a privilege. The things that we have ready access to. Some of the electronic libraries available to us. What a blessing. What a privilege to us. A resource unto us.
Yes.
May we not, in this time of ease and in a land of vineyards that we didn't have to plant,
yes,
and wells that we didn't necessarily have to dig, not get into a place of carelessness. Not get into a place that I say, well, I'll just rest on what they did before me. And begin to lightly esteem the rock of their salvation. It happened unto Israel. And it can happen unto us. Some of the things that are so familiar unto many of us. I didn't receive a program when I arrived at Monarch. Folks, we hold the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit leadership to be an integral part of who we are. The working of the Holy Spirit in our midst, folks, do we esteem it as we should? Oh, I was challenged by the message this morning. If we believe in Holy Spirit leadership, there's something that goes with that. Lord, help me to be led of your Spirit. Lord, help me not to just assume. Holy Spirit leadership is not in and of itself just not passing out a program. There's more to it than that. It's not a free-for-all. It's me being led by the Spirit of God and you being led by the Spirit of God. It's not an automatic. It's not something that's just going to happen and going to be produced of itself. Nor can we just assume that the generation following behind us are automatically just going to pick that up. Oh Lord, help us to highly esteem the things of God. To highly esteem what it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. What value do we place on it? That we don't hold to entertainment of the flesh. That we don't try to draw people by the entertainment of the world and of the flesh. Do we value those things? You know, we're to be a peculiar treasure to the Lord. Something that, may I say, is rare in our world today. That's rare even in religious realms of our world today. Folks, there is a spiritual heritage that goes beyond just who our parents were, what their names were, that they met in this place, that the Lord revealed some important spiritual truths unto them. And if we're careless with those things, if we get into a place that we begin to lightly esteem those things, we can be assured that the enemy of our souls is going to be right there to begin to undermine the things that should be so valuable to us. Of what it means to put our trust in the Lord. Of what it means to commit ourselves into the Lord's hands, live or die. And the blessings and the workings of the Lord that can come with that. Lord, help us to highly esteem the rock of our salvation. Lord, I want to go back and tap into that same well. I want to go back and if there are places that the enemy has begun to clog the wells, Lord, I want to go back and dig in that same place. Lord, help us so we not lightly esteem the working of the Lord among us. The Scripture says in Proverbs 23rd chapter and 23rd verse, buy the truth. Sell it not.
That's right.
It's going to require on our parts a proper evaluation of the worth of a thing.
True.
Because the enemy, as he comes along, is offering substitutes.
True. Yes,
the enemy is coming along with a bartering game.
Yes.
You give me this, and I'll give you that.
Yes.
You give me this thing right here, and I'll give you this over here. May the Lord give us discernment and understanding. The changing of our times, the changing of society, and yet the unchangeable nature of truth and of God's Word. Lord, help us to know how to hold precious and valuable and highly esteem in our generation the truths of your Word, the dealings of the Lord. How highly do you value conviction? How highly do you value that tug of the Spirit as the sound of His Word goes forth. See that you despise that not. I'd like to turn to Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis chapter 25, beginning in the 29th verse. 25 and 29, and Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright. You can have it, but it's going to cost you something."
Yeah.
You know, the enemy knows how to come along and appeal unto us.
Yeah.
Didn't he know how to do that to the children of Israel whenever the nations around began to ask, "Where's your king? As you're coming through our land, we want to be able to size you up. We want to be able to king to king here, have some dialogue and discussion and have an assessment. You're no equal. You don't have a king. Where is your king?" And the people began to say, "What is this? We need a king." So they began to cry out and to say, "We want a king like unto all the other nations around us." They began to see as a deficiency something that the Lord intended to be the most precious thing that they ever could have had. To have Jehovah as your king. To have Him as the one fighting your battles for you. Him as the one that's leading you forth. And oh, what a valuable thing. But they got into a place that they began to see through the eyes of the flesh rather than the eyes of the Spirit. And they began to say, "We need something that we can lay eyes on. We need something that we can see. We need something that we can follow. We need something like everybody else around us. We're kind of becoming irrelevant here. We're kind of becoming out of place here. We're not going to be able to be effective in our land around us as we're going if we don't have a king like everybody else." And they lightly esteemed their king. They lightly esteemed Jehovah.
Yeah.
Jacob here had a plan that he had contrived, and Esau, as he came in, hungry. The flesh yearning for some food, some satisfaction, and Jacob was right there. Can imagine Esau as he was coming into the camp, and oh, what's that smell? And he began to think about that, and there was something that drew him to that, and he wanted it, and it was all that he could think about. If you go a couple days without food, what is it that's about the first thing into your mind? You don't generally miss many meals after that because you forgot. It's the thing that keeps nagging and drawing. And so, Jacob put a price tag on it. Esau had something that was of far more value than a bowl of beans. Esau had something that carried with it the blessing of the Lord for generations to come. And as he stood and looked at that and considered and smelled the smell before him, he lightly esteemed the thing that God had given him.
Yeah.
And he placed more value on that which was of the flesh than that which was of the Spirit. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. It wasn't that Esau stood back and said, "I'd love to get rid of this birthright. This thing's been dragging along behind me and it bothers me and I don't want it. I'd give it away. I hate this birthright." That's not what the scripture's saying. But Esau instead lightly esteemed. He didn't place it in its proper place of value. The proper place that the Lord intended for it to serve him and his children for generations to come. He lost sight of that. He lost focus on that. As it's so easy for us to do if we're not careful. If we're not walking in the Spirit. For us to begin to place a higher value on the things and the way of the flesh. On the wisdom that comes from beneath and not from above. Lord, help us this afternoon. That we place a great value on the things of God. On those things of a spiritual inheritance that the Lord wants to give to us. of the treasure house of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said in one place that, said you're like a householder, I believe he said, of a man that has a treasure laid up of things both new and old in the storehouse.
Yes, amen.
Do we have some of those things laid up among us? Some of those things of years gone by, of the testimonies of the Lord's workings among us as a people. Folks will want to challenge us that we have some new things in the storehouse as well. The Lord wants to invest some things in that storehouse that I too, to my children, will be able to have something that I can point to and say, let me show you what the Lord did for me here. Let me show you, let me teach you the importance of this. Let me not just show you a pile of rocks, but to tell you here's what it means.
Yes,
here's the value of it. Here's the worth of it. Don't stray from this way. Let me tell you what I found in the good way. So that whenever it comes your time of making a decision, you too will ask for the good way.
Yes.
Oh, may the Lord help us as His people, as parents, to teach to our children and to the generation following the value and the worth of the things of God, the things of the worship of the Lord that are so important.
Amen.
We cannot afford to lightly esteem the rock of our salvation, to come into a setting even such as this and just assume that the Lord's blessings and presence will come here because of who we are, because He always has. Folks, the Lord's utmost desire is to meet us here. And I'm so thankful for how He has been.
Yes, sir.
That's His desire to come and meet with us, to pour out of His Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
But we're going to have to place a high value on it.
That's right.
To seek after it. Whenever the enemy comes along and says, I want to barter with you. I want to make a little exchange here. Maybe just a little bit at a time. But I can say, as the song says, I've found a richer treasure.
Yes,
one that fadeth not away. Not interested. I don't want that pot of beans. I'll find something else. I'll eat later. The Lord will take care of me. The Lord's given me a promise. He's given me a birthright. Lord, help us to live up to that birthright. To not lightly esteem the things of God or His workings in our life. To become careless with the things of God. The Lord took great care and precaution with His things. We read in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord ordered the building of the tabernacle and the things that were to be put in that, and it was intended to be able to be packed up and moved at the time when the cloud and the pillar of fire would move before them, it's time to pack up. You can't afford to camp where the Spirit of the Lord isn't. You're not a people to be able to sustain or defend yourself or to be of any meaning or significance if my presence moved on from before you. So you're going to have to be able to pack up and move. And with the things of the Lord that He said, He didn't give much license to Moses to say, Moses, I'd like to have a place to live in. Come bring a proposal to me. Moses, you just build something for me and I'll come. But He said, Moses, here's how I want you to build it. Here's the pattern of the thing, Moses. And when Moses did everything according to the pattern, that's when the glory of the Lord came. Whenever he followed the pattern, and he prayed and entreated the Lord, oh Lord, would you come and dwell in this place? Lord, when your people come here and they cry unto you, Lord, would you hear out of heaven? Would you answer their prayers? Oh, I want to see the Lord for generations to come, answering our prayers, meeting with us in a place such as this.
Amen.
The presence and the sweet Spirit of the Lord moving among us. It's valuable. I hope you cherish it today.
Amen.
I told him whenever you pack up, well, it wasn't just the building itself. The instruments, the articles that were placed inside. The Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't just for some spectators to go in and look on it and see it. Curiosity, but it was placed in the holy and then the holy of holies. And it wasn't just for the common man to go and look on. Thank the Lord, he's opened the way into the Holy of Holies now.
Yes, amen.
But what he wanted them to realize and understand was, I am a fearful and a dreadful God. My things are not to be played with. My things are not to be handled lightly. Remember what Belteshazzar found whenever he took upon himself. You know, there's some golden goblets over there that we took from in captivity with the children of Israel. And, you know, let's go bring those in and use them for the party here. To defile the things of God for a common purpose. The Lord wasn't pleased with it. And when the Lord instructed him, when it's time for you to move on, to pack up the tabernacle and to move on, there's a certain way that I want you to do it. I don't want you to just carelessly grab a couple men and go pick it up and throw it over your shoulders and start moving. But I have a certain people that their order, their duty and responsibility, their charge is the movement of the ark. And here's how I want it done, and here's the distance, and I want it to be covered and concealed because these are my things. They're not common. They're not commonplace. They're not to just be handled as your own cutlery and your own utensils and just common things that you'd pack up and throw in a bag and let's go. The things of God are more valuable than that. They can't be handled lightly like that. They can't be handled with reckless abandon. And they're to be treasured. They're to be valued. They're to be esteemed. And we look at a man who sees the ark beginning to wobble and reaches out and puts his hand on it and say, Lord, why would you strike the man dead? Those are holy things.
Yes.
And the Lord is not to be esteemed lightly. True. Nor his commandments, nor his things to be handled with recklessness.
Yes.
We read of the men of Beth Shemesh. Whenever the ark came into their area, they went and many of them looked at within the ark, and the Lord smote many of them that day with death. This isn't common. Folks, the things that we hold and we teach and we believe are not common to this world.
Yes.
It's not commonplace, nor is it to be valued as among the stuff. But the things of the Lord, I'm not talking about my things, your things. The things of the Lord for which we are to seek and entreat the Lord. Lord, show us your ways. Lord, we want to also in our day follow the pattern. Because we want your presence to come and fill this temple. And when we come together, Lord, our prayer, our desperate entreaty is, Lord, come and meet with us. Lord, would you bless the foolishness of preaching? Lord, through your Spirit, would you take the feeble words of man and touch hearts? Lord, with the singing. I love the singing of Zion. That's my playlist. That's what I enjoy hearing year round is the singing of the saints. They had a deal at work recently. They wanted to do a get to know. They wanted us to fill out a PowerPoint slide and tell about ourselves. Well, they told us the questions were to answer. What's your favorite movie? N.A. Your favorite television show? N.A. Your favorite music? A cappella gospel singing. Folks, there's not. It's not commonplace. It's not like the playlists of the world. There's a different ring to it. There's something that ministers to my spirit. But it's not just because we sit together and we know how to harmonize and we can gather together in a large group and sing. That's not it. Folks, there are people in the world that know how to sing beautifully. That's not what touches the Spirit. That's not what ministers to us. But it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Lord's things. And I fear that if we get into a place that we begin lightly esteeming the things of God, we too could find ourselves like Israel. Then I get down the road and we have to say, do you remember 20 years ago? Do you remember way back then what it used to be? Boy, things have sure changed now. I'm thankful that the Lord instead is a very present help.
Yeah.
And the Lord desires to show Himself to us year after year, throughout the year. He wants to give us some new treasures. He wants to give us some things to build right on top of the old things and the old testimonies that we've heard, that I have a new stone that the Lord lays right on top of that and say, let me tell you, the Lord witnessed to my life and my spirit of the very same thing that He witnessed to somebody else. There's power in it. I'm thankful today for the things that the Lord has made available unto us. There for us to treasure and value and esteem so highly. Lord, help us to conduct ourselves with that kind of a high regard and esteem for the things of God. You pray for me.